name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you love him with all of your heart this morning? Is he your strong tower?
Yes.
The word of the Lord said the righteous can run in thereof and find help in the time of need. That he is our solace, that he is our help, that he is our love, that he is our mercy, that he is our grace, that he is the restorer of paths to dwell in, that he is the one who takes the broken heart and puts pieces back together when we don't even comprehend or understand what the pieces are. I love him this morning. Would you lift your hands one more time and give him honor and praise and glory? God, you're good. You are holy. You are righteous. You're worthy, worthy. You're worthy, worthy. We make room, God, not only in our hearts, not only room, God, with this sanctuary, this place of sanctuary, this sacred space called sanctuary. God, we make room in our community. We make room in our city. We make room in our hearts today, in our choir, in every ministry, in every opportunity. Hey. Blessed us, God, with again and again to serve you and make room for you as the only wise God, the one who lives forever and forever. And even the 420 elders fall down and cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and which is to come. Let the people of the Lord praise the Lord today. You are worthy. You are worthy. As we push toward time of renewal, freshness and unity, the liberty of the Spirit to move among us, as we have designated a time in early October to do that very thing. And we saw God move in an incredible way last year. I tell you, for those that don't believe God is moving today just like he always has, you're missing the word of God, the truth of God's word. He said he's with us yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He's the same. He's moving. He's changing hearts. He's changing lives. He's working. And as we move toward that, and as we move toward an incredible time of celebration in 100 years in November, I'm reminded that he is God right here, right now, and that he is able to speak to broken hearts and lives today. Change situations before you walk out the door. He can not only change your heart, but he can change the heart of the one who has hurt you. That situation that you're dealing with today that you think that it cannot be mended, that it cannot be rectified. I believe the Spirit of the Lord is here saying, I am God, I am in the room, and if you'll make room for me, I'll work before this hour is through. I'll work before this day is finished. Amen? And I will rebuild, and I will restore, and I will renew. We're not only doing that with our physical plant, but I believe that we are doing that in the spirit as well as we move forward in him. So this morning I want to enter into what I believe is a God now scripture for this moment. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1. If you know the Old Testament history, you understand that Nehemiah has been to the king, Artaxerxes, and that Jerusalem has been shattered and in ruins, that there is a remnant that lives among the ruins of Jerusalem while Nehemiah serves in the palace of the king. And it is a broken heart, it is a contrite spirit, it is a humility with which he goes to the king and he says, I have a burden for my people, a burden for a city that is broken, a burden for a people with no temple. And God grants him favor through this earthly king. And they are returning to Jerusalem. And they are rebuilding the city of Jerusalem. And it is here this morning that I want to take you that the word says, then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and they built the sheep gate. It is the first gate. It is also the worship gate. They sanctified it and they set up the doors, even of it, even under the Tower of Meah. They sanctified it. They sanctified it. Sanctified it. Under the Tower of Hananiah. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that as you have prepared our hearts as an open door to worship and thanksgiving this morning, the work that you've already wrought in lives of those who have bowed their humble knee in this altar of prayer, tears that have stained the blouse and tears that have stained the jacket, tears shed out of a heart that desires you, that God, you would even move now sovereignly through your word, that you would work among your people and walk the aisles of this holy ground. Challenge us and change us. Make us new every day of our lives so that we better serve you and reflect you and who your son Jesus is. In Christ's name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Turn around, love someone as you're seated this morning. Word of gratitude and thanksgiving to all that was done and wrought in this house last Sunday. Kelly and I have watched parts of that service as God moved incredibly and opened the voices of praise, voices that perhaps have been reluctant in the past. The Harrison young man touched and blessed our hearts. And I had an individual, a leader in our church this morning that said, you know, at the time I didn't realize the significance of it. But as I have thought on what was said last week about when God answers like we want God to answer and he doesn't answer the way that we don't, you know, or answers the way that we don't want him to answer, how do we come to grips with that? How do we move forward in that? And that person said very genuinely this morning, that has impacted me the entirety of this week. It's made me think in a way that I have not thought before. And I can tell you as a pastor today, at my age, as long as I have been in this great church, Miss Sarah, I am still learning that God speaks to us afresh and anew. And if we will hear him, he can teach us and train us and mold us, and he can build something in us and out of us and through us that we have not yet experienced in all of our lives. And that's exciting, and that's fresh, and it's new, and it's the incredible. As I take you back just for a moment this morning to 1970, we understand that archaeologists uncovered the remains of the wall of Nehemiah. And God's people built to fortify Jerusalem so many centuries ago. It was after the Babylonian captivity. It was after an imposed slavery. It was after an imposed struggle for control. This 80-foot stretch was unearthed some 900 feet west of the temple area. Get this. That wall, that 80-foot stretch, was built on bedrock, and not in length, but the wall was 23 feet in depth. It was seemingly an earthly phenomenon at that time. It was impregnable. You could not get through, so the thought was. Jerusalem had been completely leveled by their nemesis Nebuchadnezzar some 70 years before. And Nehemiah is sending a strong message to the enemy that we must send today, this many centuries later. It is simply this: devil, you may have come through Jerusalem a time or two before. Devil, you may have come through Summerton a time or two before. But this time, we are rebuilding the wall, we are refortifying, and we are ready. And this time you will have hell to pay. This time you will have a fight on your hands. Someone has been praying in balcony right. Someone has been praying in balcony left. Someone has decided that I will worship in good times and I will worship in the bad. Someone is not afraid to lift up their voice and prophesy. It was the word of God that challenges us. Jeremy actually has said that above all gifts, desire the gift of prophecy. Someone who is not afraid to say, thus saith the Lord God. Someone who has, according to the scripture, a mind to work. Someone has lifted up a shield of faith, and deception and division and disunity. This time you have no place here. You will not get in. It is that we must understand, Cody Glover, that we are living in an age and a day where people are just as lost, even more miserably than they've ever been lost before. Not just lost in the contextual sense of their heart and their soul, but we are lost as a nation. We are lost as a world. We have no direction. We live in a day when every direction is a right direction. People are humiliated. People are hurting. People are wounded inside these very walls. This very morning, you are indeed going through hell on earth. And I believe this more than ever before, Philip Walker, that people must have access to your life. That people must have access to us as worship leaders, those that portray worship and portray leadership, those that walk in and walk out Sunday after Sunday, and month after month. They must have access to hope, and they must have access to healing and access to help. They must have access to this very church itself. But there are enemies to the faith that absolutely have no place within this body, within this church, within this people. There are enemies to the faith that cannot get inside the prayer wall, inside this church. And the only way to keep enemies out is to build a wall of protection around the body of Christ. Someone who is mature enough to stand and boldly declare and proclaim, I know who you are. I know the look in your eye. I know the sound of your voice. And you are not welcome here. We have built a wall, and we believe together that God will defend his church. Amen. Foundation that must be saturated with prayer. Philip Walker, I'm not trying to score brownie points at all, blows my mind. Sunday after Sunday, there's just some hint. There are specific words many times that just confirm. I looked at Kelly before he read the scripture. I said, he confirmed. There's the confirmation of the message this morning. We must have a foundation that is saturated in prayer. Prayer does not come with earthly glory. Prayer does not come with what many would describe as an earthly significance. It does not come as a ministry at the forefront where people are recognized, my, they are so talented they can pray. If we don't pray, the wall becomes filled with gaps of all sizes. Gaps of gossip, Jezebel gaps, backbiter gaps, gaps of immaturity, complainer gaps, gaps of those who are too busy fighting each other that they don't know how to protect the body for the overall good. People who rob God and rob you and exasperate you of your time and your attention. That time that should be spent on winning and discipling lost people to Jesus Christ. I declare once again, 17 months later, that this is the mission of Summiton Church. This is the mission of God's people. And this is the mission of the kingdom of the Almighty. So if we're going to do anything right this morning, I told the worship choir, this group gathered to lead you into the place of God's presence. I told them this morning that that if anything, I believe in excellence. You feel like you've been in some places and you've listened to some mentors and you've been through some things, people that have challenged you and changed you, and you can't begin to even remotely think that you know it all, but yet I've sat among those who are wise that have poured into my life and into our lives, and I believe in excellence. I want the very best that God has for us. But I believe this morning that any ability to preach or communicate gospel, any ability to sing or to play, then it must be to glorify God. But if we do not have a wall of defense, all of those things are of naught and will come to an end. We must know how to pray, and we must build a wall of defense. God surrounds his church with a wall of defense. God surrounds his church with a hedge. The Holy Spirit is big enough to take care of problem people before they take care of you. It was Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. He said, I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me. What kind of person will you be? What kind of individual are you in serving God and connecting to the presence of God every day of your life? This word hedge means a wall. This wall is important because if the enemy can find a way in, he does not care who he tears up or what he tears up in order to make it happen. He'll tear up youth departments, tear up youth choirs and adult choirs. She'll tear up children's ministry and life groups, senior adults and church boards. They'll tear down pastors and build up idols. He doesn't care where he gets in. He just wants in. People will fuss and fight and fume and create distractions. But God never meant for you to spend your time feeling like a spiritual firefighter or a spiritual detective. He didn't call you to Criminal Minds or Blue Bloods or CSI. No, no, no. Some people spend so much time complaining about the problem that we don't have a Moses that knows how to get to the mountain and come back with the word of God and declare among the people at this moment, at this time, thus says the word of the living God. Give me people who know how to pray first. Give me people who know how to stand in the gap when it goes their way and when it doesn't go their way. People who know how to keep their mouth closed about everybody else and pray until the power of a holy God comes down like fire out of heaven and touches the lives of broken people. And we see them being saved and discipled before our very eyes. You don't need a badge to serve. You don't need a title to serve. You need to understand that there is no place for the gap in the law. It was Jesus who said, I came to seek and to save those which are lost. That is priority number one, and that is why we are here. Turn to your neighbor and tell them God said, build the wall. The right kind of wall. Give me men and women with a sword in their hand. And that same enemy who came messing around last year, trying to get in, can't get in this year. Because somebody cared more about a hedge than they did a hole. Come help me, guys. Just come stand right here real quick. Quicker. I found in my life no one would ever admit it, no one would ever confide and declare it quite honestly that their life is consumed with making a hole more than they are making a hedge. If we're not careful, we have this wall formed and we get individuals. Sometimes they're a little more concerned about being one step ahead of the brother behind. They are about the hedge. Come here, honey. She's the closest to red up here. You can be the devil or the enemy. And it is that, and she tries to get in here, tries to get in here and can't get in. Just lock arms there, guys, lock arms. You two stay there. And he's trying his best to get in. And all of these other places are covered. That's all good. That's talent. That's ability. That's a pastor who can preach and discipleship teachers who can teach. But all he needs is one space, one gap in the wall. And once he's in, baby, he's in. But a sign of Christian maturity is when you know how to fill gaps instead of creating gaps. And I've been in this all my life, and I still know people that are far more talented at creating gaps than they are filling gaps. The enemy comes looking, and he looks for a hole. But this time, when he shows up, she shows up. Instead of finding a hole, he looks to the left and he looks to the right. But this time, instead of finding a hole, he finds a hedge. Can I get anybody to testify in this building this morning that, Pastor, if I want anything, I want to be part of the hedge, the prayer wall, the intercession wall, real continuity with God. Thank you. I couldn't get in through gossip. I got in there last year, but I can't get in there this year because someone's been praying. Someone stopped him in his tracks. Someone stood in the gap. Someone made up the hedge. And someone was willing to say, can I get anyone in this house that will stand and say, when they ask for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I get one person who will say it out loud? Can I get one person who will say it out loud? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so it is that before we can really do anything else effectively in the kingdom of God, that we must have a sheep gate, which is also the worship gate. We try to build a church on worship and a church on personalities and a church on pastors. And as much as my ego would like to think I'm that important to God and that the church can be built on me, it cannot happen. People will let worship divide them. And people divide them. It should be repulsive when people even talk about worship wars. Who ever thought that people would fight and fuss over worship styles that are given to us in the Word, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? I know you've heard that for years, and it's still a truth today. That's still tugging and tussling and wrestling. Well, Pastor, I just want it my way. Frank Sinatra sang, I did it my way. I didn't mean for it to come out like that, but who knows he is today. Who knows what kind of presence he's in this very morning as we declare the word of a holy God. It was the Backstreet Boys who said, I want it. Yeah. Y'all don't listen to the real. But the truth of the matter this morning is, Brother Eddie, it's never been our way. It's never been your way. It's always been his way. It was Jesus himself who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. It's his song. It's his style. It's his worship gate. If you really have the right spirit of worship, you can worship with a banjo, a harp. You can worship with opera, and you can worship with bluegrass. You can worship off the wall, and you can worship when I'll fly away in the old redback hymnal. As long as I make God happy, that's all I should be consumed with today. Well, lift your hands and praise him in this house. What is the sheep gate? Maybe you've seen this, maybe you've known this since you were a teen. But the sheep gate is where all the sheep came in for what? For the worship service. Is it not more than ironic that the worship gate is the place of the sacrifice? And sometimes it may be the least sacrificial place in all the church. It is the worship of the church. It's where I sacrifice my plan to the plan of God. It's where I sacrifice my likes to the preferences of God. But more than that, even watch, it is the worship of a church. It is where the priest sent up a sweet aroma unto God and laid little lambs upon the altar. Something had to die in order for worship to be effective. I don't want to be offensive, but the reason that a lot of churches are dead is because the pastor in the pulpit is dead. The reason that the church is dead is because leadership has no vision and no passion as long as they have a paycheck in their pocket. You can shout your wig off and not understand worship. There are pulpits, but no fire. So we find at the very first gate that the priest had to lead in worship. He creates a mirror that says, it's okay to do what I do. If the priest doesn't worship, no one else will worship. If we have an evangelist come in, if we have a time of fall renewal, if we have a 100-year celebration, if we have this event or that event, and I don't model worship for you, you may think that it's okay if you don't worship as well. That's why when I enter into his gates, I enter with thanksgiving and I enter with a joyful heart. There won't be a Hey, listen, every Sunday I stand on that line, I may not feel like it. I may not feel my best. I may have had 3 viewings in 1 week and 3 trips to the hospital as soon as I get back from vacation. But I know that in all things, God is worthy of our praise. And I will walk into this house and I will model worship to you. I will lift up my hands. I will lift up my voice. I will behave like I am saved. And I love God with all of my heart. And with all of my soul, lift up your hands and praise him in his house. Pastor, I'm not emotional. I saw you at the game Friday night. sort of kidding. There are things that I do in this pulpit and I do in the house of the Lord. They're not my natural, they're not my nature. I would be more quiet and reserved most of the time. But look, there's something. Where's Brother Dana? Dana's a man's man. He hunts, he rides motorcycles, he builds houses. Terry said she didn't know about it. But there's something when the Spirit of God, I don't know his educational level, I don't care, but when the Spirit of God wells up in him, he's a living example that the joy of the Lord is his strength. And priority number one is to be a vessel that he dwells in and lives in and works through. If Josh or Anya leads this choir in singing, and I don't rejoice with great joy, you may think it's okay if you don't worship with great joy. Let me tell you today, you don't need my approval, and you don't need another leader in this house's approval. You need the approval of Almighty God. And if for no other reason, you need to walk through those doors, you need to enter into his gates every Sunday that you possibly can, every day of your living, and lift up your heart and your soul and your voice. It may be a quiet praise, it may be a loud praise, but you need to enter in at the worship gate. And if you don't have a worship gate, you don't have God. You must have a sheep gate where people feel like they are free to come in and they are free to go out and to express themselves in a mighty voice of praise. Jesus said in John 4:23, the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father, what? In spirit. That's the right spirit of worship. And in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. Don't you know I've been married to so-and-so for 42 years? She's the epitome of praise. He's the epitome of worship. The Father seeks such to worship him. Jesus never put a color on sheep. He just called them sheep. Nowhere do I see that there is a performance gate. There is no title gate. There's no Republican gate and no Democrat gate. There's no Trump gate on the right and Biden gate on the left. But there is a gate for all who will come freely to receive of the water of life in Jesus Christ. It is the gate of sacrifice and it is the gate of worship. Stay with me. So it becomes my responsibility to build the sheep gate, the worship gate. I have watched too many men quench the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe there's a place for the word. I try to be sensitive week in and week out to know when to let God divinely interrupt when it is him and when we move in that vein and when it's time to bring us in for that spiritual landing for the word of God. I don't want to be in the shoes of those who have missed him. I've watched the Spirit of God move and them walk up there and shut it down so they can get their points in and get people to a preferred destination at a preferred time. But I'm here this morning to remind you that if you want the power of God and a move of God's presence in this church, then the sheep gate must be built by the priest, and worship becomes a natural thing that we do as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Some pastors we need today who are not afraid to dance and not afraid to express themselves and not afraid to weep between the porch and the altar, not afraid to put God first and let God move first. My. And I'm here with a message that it's okay, that I don't mind being a model of worship for you. And if you need anything out of this word today, you need I need men and women who will say, follow me into the Holy of Holies first, because I made up my mind that I will freely worship the Almighty God. Will you lift your hands and do that very thing right now? Lift up your heart from the depths of your soul. Tell God, I'm one of those men. I'm one of those women. I will lead the way. I am not afraid to set the precedent. The only problem we have is when we tell God, I'll not lead the way into worship because of this, and I'll not lead the way into worship because of that. I don't like what so-and-so did, and I don't like... Your responsibility didn't change just because you didn't like something. Your responsibility doesn't change just because you don't get it the exact way that you want to get it. Our responsibility first is to meet at the sheep gate, the worship gate, and to exemplify him with our talents and the things that he has birthed within us to serve him fully for his glory always. If we want this church to live, we need more teenagers on this stage. We need more adults. We need more senior adults on this stage who will worship on this stage. This stage needs to be a mirror of what we want this congregation to look like. And it's okay if you think I'm trying to set a precedent, because I am. Quickly, we'll close. Second gate is the fish gate. This is the gate of the new convert. So God said, if you're going to build any kind of wall that works, any kind of wall without gaps, and then you've got to have a prayer wall, and you have to have a sheep gate and a worship gate. That's modeled by the leadership of the church. But now you must have an open mind to new people coming into your church. New people being saved, new people being discipled. You must have a burden for that. When Jesus gave us the parable of the fish net, and then even some living, vibrant circumstances about fishing, he made specific mention of the fact that they were not all the same kind of fish. One version, one story, John, the author, the writer, said there were 153 fish. He wanted us to know that. You know the difference between line fishing and cast net fishing, where you're just reeling a fish at a time, or you cast the net and you draw multitudes in at one time. And when Jesus set before us an example of what we are to be as a church, it was not, oh yeah, okay, well, we got a such and such kind of fish. We got this one, we got that one. No. He said it's a cast net approach. It's where we throw out the net, and whatever comes in, we receive it gladly. Let the church lift their hands and praise him this morning. Let the church lift their hands and glorify him. How many ever caught a fish that didn't smell? Some do. Some fish are big, some are small. Some are black fish, some are white fish, some are red fish. And if you've decided this morning that there's only room for one kind of fish in your life, then honey, go ahead and close the doors to the church, because you've missed the entirety of God's word and message to his people. Rich fish and poor fish. Because God is looking for a place where he can send anyone who's hurting, anyone who's lost, and anyone who needs to be found. Even if you have to move over from the seat you've been sitting in for 40 years. I hope to God, if you know someone, don't even tell me. Don't ever tell me that you know of anyone who's ever walked through the doors of this building and told someone, you're sitting in my seat. Kelly and I were so blessed. The trip that you helped accommodate for us. We were blessed to go to Charleston. There's much history there. And we spent the week there last week for our anniversary, 37 years, and thankful and grateful. But we took several tours, and we were told about the churches and some of their history, and it would blow your mind. Some churches didn't want pregnant women to come to church. So pregnant fish, reproductive fish couldn't come to. You paid your way to the front. You paid pew fees. And so if you gave more, you could sit on the second row if you gave more than the fourth row. And that happened for years. That lasted for years. Just crazy things. We want to dress our fish up, and we want them to look like we want them to look and sound like we want them to sound. There was a young pastor there. He was 21 years old, pastored a large church. Their doctrine was a little different than ours, and he got drunk on a Friday night. And so he thought it would be a good idea. I have no idea how this all came to pass, but he decided that he would go and he would capture a bear. And he brings this bear back to the church, and he decides to baptize the bear. And so the next day he was without a congregation and without a church. But this is the place of the broken. Don't ever forget that. This is the place for the alcoholic. This is the place for the homosexual. This is the place for the lost and dying. This is the place for the person that is messed up. According to everything that we know, scripturally, God said, I came to seek and to save. Understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that everybody should lead. I'm not saying everyone should have a place. And some should not. And I don't care if they crawled out of bed this morning with a hangover. I don't care if they shot up with drugs last night to get here. I don't care if they put their cigarette out in the parking lot. I don't care if they smell like an ashtray. If we are still in the business of winning sinners, this must be an open door church for people who need him the most. Hey, I will not escort you out of here if you don't have the right kind of clothes on and you don't look a certain way. Let all who have come freely and partake of the water of life. Amen. Come on, stand with me this morning. All over this house, lift up your hands, lift up your voice, make them an instrument in praise. Praise the name of the Lord. Stay, just remain standing. An old friend of mine led a church several years ago from about 80 in attendance on Sunday morning to about 3,000 on a weekly basis, and was in our wedding. Kelly was in our wedding, and he was in service one Sunday, and he said a guy came to the altar. And he flipped up on his back and just started spinning in the altar. Did some kind of wave thing and back bend. It would hurt me just thinking about trying it. And the elders looked at the pastor like, you want us to get him now? But he waited and he backed off. And the boy testified. And he said, Pastor, this is my first time in church ever. He said, I'm a rap singer. And I sing in lounges on Friday and Saturday night. But he said, this morning, I gave my heart to Jesus for the first time. Yeah. And he said, I didn't even know what to do. He said, it just kind of hit me. And all I knew how to do was praise God the way that I know how to praise and move. woman left her home in Utah, raised a Mormon by faith, and her husband had left her. Her parents disowned her. She left her kids and decided to drive east as far as she could go, and then that she would just climb in her car and she would die. She came upon this church in the Midwest, and actually they came upon her. She didn't know that they had a failed motorist ministry that would drive the streets of St. Louis late on Friday and Saturday nights. And while one individual repaired the vehicle, the other individual would lead the people to Jesus. And they noticed this woman in church one Sunday morning, and she was doing the boogie and the woogie, and it seemed real inappropriate, and it was. This friend of mine said, he said she made her way for the microphone, and he said, I froze. I never do that. He said, but I felt impressed with the Spirit to give her the microphone. And he said, she said, what you don't know is that I planned to give it all up. And she said, the ministry of this church met me in my need.
Yeah, come on.
And she said, they put me in a room. And said, the individual said to me, well, now that we're kind of worked things out for you, you've got a room, why don't you come be with us in service in the morning? And she said, I don't have anything to wear. He said, that's okay, we've got a ministry for that too. 137 active ministries in their church. She said, I was ready to end it all. But she said, God sent me here and God saved my life. She said, I guess I'm Pentecostal now. What is the burden of our heart? What do we really want, Lonnie, from him? What does he want from us? I think we need a patient gate. We need who wants to volunteer for a patience ministry? Nobody. Sometimes we just need to be patient and wait on God and let God fix things. The incredible ending to that particular story is this. My friend told me, he said, now that woman, said years later, said she got her real estate license. Said God has turned her life around and blessed her immensely. Said, not that it's important, but said she comes to church in a suit every Sunday and said she worships like everybody else worships. But most of all, she carries the heart of God. It's amazing to me. We have so many incredible ministries here. Our Celebrate Recovery ministry on Tuesday night is just as important as any other ministry in the church. It amazes me that Crystal Russell, I don't know if they're here today. I thought I saw Mark, Cindy. Crystal Russell, the former pastor's daughter, that she chooses to serve in the old part of the building downstairs,
right.
Seemingly hidden from the rest of the world, but she's not hidden from God. Every Tuesday, she, along with many others, is pouring into the kids. We're having 20 and 30 kids plus on Tuesday night with those that are coming in need. There is something you can do, if you will, just to say, I was here in the glory days, just to say, I sang when it was incredible 40 years ago, is not enough today. And I mean that with great respect. It's an honor to have Dr. Devin and Miss Judy with us today. I knew about the heritage of this. I knew about the blessings of this church when I was a child. And I'm not that far up the road. I'm from Chattanooga. When I was a teenager, I've heard about it all my life. And I have great, don't ever misunderstand. I have great respect for for who and what we've been. But if we are not who we're supposed to be today in Jesus Christ, all of that comes to naught and it means nothing. Amen. We must have a sheep gate.
Yes. Yes.
And we must have a fish gate. Would you come meet me in this altar? Can I get everyone in this house that's, if you're able, if you're comfortable, if you can? Coming from the balconies. Thank you. God bless you. I started to ask you individually. I started to say, if you're willing to be a vessel, if you're willing to be part of the sheep gate, and you're willing to be part of the fish gate, if God's dealing with your heart, will you come? But I felt God check my spirit, and he said, you invite them all, because these are the two gates before you can go any further. These are the two gates where you need everyone on board. Everyone in this house has a responsibility to win people to Jesus. Everyone in this house has a responsibility, if you know Jesus, to worship Jesus. And if we can worship Sonia unashamedly, if we can worship with all of our heart, if we can lay down. Listen, I know you're struggling with some things. I know you are. I know you're struggling. I know we have marriages that are fighting for their marital lives in this very house. You're going through hurts. Some of you are trying to figure out, how do I pay my rent this month? How do I cope with the loss of my brother? And how do I cope? But if we can, just for a moment, just for a breath, if we could just be one, if we can lift up our hearts, our voices one more time and say, God, let me do everything at the sheep gate that I can do. Let me do everything that I can do at the fish gate to best serve you. Then God, do that in me and help me to be the best possible vessel that I can be, so that we have a wall of defense, a line of defense where there are no holes and no gaps that the enemy can penetrate. Would you lift up your hands and would you ask God in your own way right now, God, will you renew me? Will you revive me? Will you rebuild me, restore me? Right now, God, so that I care about the sheep gate and the worship gate again, that I care about reaching a lost and dying world. That my heart is tender. That my mind is right. And just because I get a no here doesn't mean I won't get a yes there. And just because I didn't like this doesn't mean, God, that you don't have something to do for me that better, that best fits who I am in your kingdom. Help me to embrace that, God, to embrace my moment, to embrace my time. In this season of my life, in this place of my life, to serve your people and to serve your church and to serve our community.